So we're going to carry on then with our Christmas journey, where if you remember last week, and cast your minds back, or maybe the week before even, John the Baptizer is on his way as Elizabeth is now pregnant, and Mary, who we saw last week, is also expecting. We know that she's expecting the Messiah, the God in flesh. Has called into being this wonderful moment now. And it's quite a remarkable time, never to be matched or repeated. We have these two women, one who thought she would never have a child, and one who hadn't even thought about having any children. We've got virtually the complete opposite on the spectrum of the two ladies that we've looked at to this point. And I want us today to view their interaction. Mostly that we're going to see this morning is Elizabeth talking to Mary. But you'll be able to go away and read Mary's song, which follows on from this. And we'll just have a quick glimpse of verse 56 as well. But I want to view their interaction, this brief conversation that we get recorded for us, that gives us a glimpse as to their amazement and wonder. I think often when we read the Christmas story, we sort of detach ourselves just a little bit. We've heard it a lot of times, and maybe we don't quite appreciate fully what's happening here. But it is absolutely a moment between the two of them that's filled with their wonder and amazement, but also their walk with the Lord, their journey that has just begun really for both of them, and what that means for them now as they're going to move forward. And I want us, as we look through this, the very latter part of it, that there's going to be a real takeaway for us, that we can mull over and pray about and talk to the Lord about as far as our journey goes. It's important that whenever we look through Scripture that we find something that's important for us that we can apply and we can take into the week ahead. And prayerfully, the Lord will do that for us. So we're going to have a look at verse 39 through 45. It's only a few verses. Let's just read it together. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." Then you get Mary's song, and right at the end it said Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning that we've been able to just read your word together. And we pray, Lord, that you would just encourage us through it. Father, that you bless us as we continue our journey through this Christmas story, as we recall, as we remind ourselves about these moments that happen as the Lord Jesus was now on his way to planet Earth. And we pray, Lord, that you would just bless us and encourage us. And we ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So Mary then has received some life-changing news. And she's received that via an angel, if you like, but direct from God. She wants to share that with Elizabeth. And that makes, for me, the most sense. Does it not to you? That Mary has received this news, which is incredible. But also, when she received the news, she got some information from the angel about Elizabeth. So she wants to go to the place where she can share this news with somebody else who is also in the same boat, if you like, as she is. She's pregnant. And she's in the midst of a miracle. And Elizabeth is exactly the same. Although the moments are different that surround it, she is also pregnant and in the midst of a miracle. And as I thought about that, and I've mulled this over the past week or so, the reality is that for these two women, they give us, I think, as a church, an insight as to what it means to you and me to be saved. That I have received this great news, I have received a miracle as I've accepted Christ as Saviour, that somebody would take my place and deal with my sin and shame. And you, if you're saved, have that same joy. And what do I want to do with that? I want to share with you. Is that not church? That we want to share that great news, that joy, that miracle that we've enjoyed together, that we worship corporately and collectively together, that we share with one another. And I think when we think about that and we see this moment here that happens with these two ladies, is they burn so much brighter when they're together. You see how we get this interaction. You can almost feel Elizabeth's excitement and the joy in the way even that it's written. And then, of course, as you read through Mary's song, which you'll be able to do later on, you can just feel it. It's tangible. It's incredible. And that for us, that when we're together as the church, and don't get me wrong, you sound wonderful in the shower, I'm sure, when you're singing My Jesus, My Saviour. But when we do it together, what a difference it makes. And what it just gives everything more emphasis, more oomph, if you like. It just ploughs it all together and goes, look, we are who we are because of what Christ has done. And these two ladies are who they are because God is in the midst of everything that's happening. And the best place for them to be is to share that together and just sing the Lord's praises. And it's so evident in their interaction, the way that they talk to each other. As Mary arrives, Elizabeth's baby leaps in her womb. Elizabeth is filled, the word says, with the Holy Spirit and exclaims these blessings on Mary. And the moment, again, as I've tried to process it, the moment is kind of unimaginable. Now, I get the moment when you see, perhaps if you've ever been in the same room or party two ladies who are both pregnant and the excitement that they can have together, and they just share these little snippets of things that have already, oh, that's happened to me. And they share, so I can imagine that bit. But imagine this in the sense that one has received a miracle for a child that she never thought she was going to get, that she prayed for all her life, and now it's happening. And one that is not even married and is now having a child that she certainly didn't pray for and she certainly wasn't expecting. And they are both in the midst of a miracle. And when this moment then happens, that the process that goes off between them is almost beyond my imagination. The baby leaps in Elizabeth's womb. And we see that John, who we know is going to be a prophet, he's already doing his job. Because John leaps in the womb and he declares that there is somebody in his presence that is greater than him. You see that? And now, as Jesus is in the womb of Mary, Jesus is the saviour of the world. And this is going to be John's job, to make a way, to declare the way of the coming Messiah. And that's exactly what John does in these moments, even in the womb, before he is born. The baby leaps in her womb and declares that there is one in the room that is greater than him. And of course, Jesus is going to be the saviour of the world. And the blessings then that Elizabeth declares over Mary give us a huge hinge point for us to think about today. That the Messiah is to be born of a woman. To be born and to live as we do. And that blessing shows us that God was willing to step into time to rescue you and me. That very blessing declares that. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So therefore, the Messiah, God in flesh, needed to have the blood that we have running through our veins. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So that this human blessing, if you like, this blood blessing, says that this baby is going to be born just like you and me. It's going to live just like you and me. But then the blessing goes on. And the blessing then pours into Mary and Mary's faith and her obedience. Now, let's not forget then, in that moment, that as Elizabeth pours out this blessing, verse 45, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Let's not forget that Mary isn't married. Let's not forget that Mary doesn't have a husband, and culturally, all that's happening is not good for Mary at all. And I've shared with this with you before, but her relationships within society would be nil. She would be the lowest of the low according to society. That she is pregnant outside of wedlock. And when the reason that I read verse 56 is for us to just catch a glimpse of that. Because if you don't read verse 56, there's a reality that you don't see. That she spent 3 months at Elizabeth's. Why would she do that? She's just pregnant. She's gone up to just in Judea to one of the villages to see Elizabeth, who is also pregnant. But let's just think about it practically. It gets her out of the way for a while, does it not? It gets her somewhere else for a while. Now, everybody's going to know Mary in this place that she is. Now, everybody that she bumps into on a daily walk or daily work in whatever she's doing, not everybody's going to know her. Not everybody's going to see what's going off or think there's anything out of the ordinary. She spends 3 months at Elizabeth. And I think when you look at that, that she would have to, wouldn't she, to gather her thoughts. She would have to get her head around what's happening. And we think, when we look at that, and the way that she responds to the angel is like, okay, if that's what the Lord wants, then. But you imagine that. And we see her faith and obedience play out. But of course, she has to get her thoughts together. She has to prepare herself. She has to spend time with the Lord in the quiet. She has to spend time away from judgment and from fear. But understanding that helps us appreciate all the more what Elizabeth said back in verse 45. When she says, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. Mary has faith that God will carry out that all he's told her. All that she's heard about over the years growing up. Now she's starting to realise that that is being fulfilled through her. You imagine that. It's almost beyond our understanding. But Mary has faith that God is going to carry out all that he's told her. And it might not be easy, yet she had to look past the momentary trouble so she could see the blessing to come. And this is our hinge point. That she had to look past the momentary trouble to see the blessing that was to come. And I think, how often do I need to apply, and you might be able to put yourself in there as well. How often do we need to apply that to our lives, church? To look past the difficulties, to look past the troubles and the hard times that are happening. And we're not making light of those things, but we have to look past those things so that we can see the blessings that we have in and through our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen? We have to look past the momentary trouble. We have to look past those things. And you might say, Matt, what am I looking past to? Now, all we have to do is open the Word of God, don't we? All we have to do is to see that my sins are forgiven in and through Christ. Well, we only have to look past and see that one day I will see my Saviour face to face because of what he has done for me. I can look past these momentary earthly troubles, the difficulties that we all face. At some point, we can say, God, I'm thankful, and we praise forward. We say, God, I'm thankful that you're in control. I'm thankful that I'm able to see that I will be with you one day. Lord, I'm able to see that your word tells me that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Your word tells me that you're right by my side. Your word tells me that as I draw close to you, you draw close to me. Your word tells me that I can have a peace that passes understanding as I draw near to you. And we have to look past the momentary trouble to say, God, you haven't lost control. This is not outside of your control. It's not outside of the things that you know and understand. Lord, it's not outside of your plan and your purpose for me in my life. I might not get it. I might not understand it. I might not, at this moment for Mary, think, well, this is really a great idea. Just a few months, Lord, and I'd be married to Joseph. That'd be easier. But of course, that couldn't be the case. God had to come in a miraculous way to dress in human form as the Lord Jesus Christ. So it all had to happen as it needed to happen. And Mary would be clinging to the words that she'd seen by the prophet Isaiah, that the Messiah would come via a virgin birth. She'd be clinging to those things and processing those things, if that's even possible, to process that miracle that she's in the midst of. But out of that, we see this faith and obedience that I think that we can take into the week ahead. There's such value and blessing for us if we ask God to help us with these moments of trial and tribulation that we go through. There's a real blessing when we lift our gaze from the issue that we have in front of us and say, Lord, I know you're in control. I know you've got this. I'm going to need you to let me know. I'm going to need you to help me. I'm going to need you, Lord, to lift my gaze. And these difficulties that Mary was going to already, I'm sure, feeling, but the things that she was going to feel as time was going to move on. You imagine when she goes back home with a bump. You imagine what's going to be said to her in the times that we're in. You imagine how she's going to be ostracized immediately, put to one side from society, called every name under the sun. She had to have this moment of quiet with God to prepare her for what was to come. And church, that is such a lesson for us, that we center our lives around the Lord. We spend time in his word. We spend time worshiping collectively, corporately, to ready ourselves for tomorrow morning. We don't know what's coming, but we know one who does. Amen. We know that he's in control, and we know that he's able to be there with us, to help us and to strengthen us. Mary is applying that very faith and obedience. God has said he'll do it, and I believe that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And that then brings this obedience that says, I'm going to step into that moment that I've been called to. And for us then, church, it's I've been saved because of the work of the cross. I've put my faith in him. And now then, in obedience, I'm going to do my best. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to live how he's called me to live. It's faith that said God has saved me through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's obedience that says, God, help me to walk and to step into what you've called me to do. There's faith and there's obedience to take that first step. And church, we've discussed that first step before. And often the first step comes without a word. And you're saying, Lord, should I step? And faith says yes. But I just want an answer, Lord. And you get nothing till you've stepped. And the challenge for us, church, is to apply that faith and obedience into every single moment of our life. To say, God, you're in control. Help me to step into what you've called me to be. Faith and obedience. And the question remains for us this morning is, are we ready to step? Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you this morning for your word. Father, for its encouragement as we've seen together this interaction, these moments between Elizabeth and Mary. And Father, between John the Baptizer and Jesus the Messiah. And Lord, we're just astounded by these moments. And Father, I pray that you would just help us to just process the narrative as we understand what's going off. And we see Mary's faith and obedience in the midst of hostility and what is going to be turmoil for her. The blessing is going to come, but she's going to have to look to you for her strength. And we pray, Lord God, that you would help us to apply that to each and every day of our lives. And Father, again, we just thank you for your word this morning. Bless us, Lord, as we just enjoy, as we close together in our fellowship too, Lord. Have your hand upon us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.